You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 15th, 2020. No, this April 15th is not your tax deadline day because coronavirus is giving you a 90-day extension. You do not have to file your taxes now until July 15th. Where do we stand worldwide on the infection? Surpassing the 2 million mark. Deaths around the world approaching 130,000. In the U.S., infections confirmed 130,000. Deaths 26,000, blamed on COVID-19, although coroners have said unless we can actually have the COVID-19 test, we cannot verify they died of COVID-19, but the tests are being reserved for the living. Rightly so. But based upon those numbers, the report coming out that yesterday we had the largest amount die in the U.S. in one day, 2,405. That, again, is based upon those being labeled as COVID-19. President Trump pulling funding out of World Health Organization. $400 million a year we give them, and we plan a two-year plan to give them about $400 million for each of the years, maybe $450 million. The president said the World Health Organization did not do its job in making sure China was giving us the correct and accurate story. And that's how the virus spread so rapidly. So we're pulling our money out till we see a better accounting and have a better handle. And the World Health Organization immediately starts crying, well, we need that money. This is the worst time to take the money during a crisis. You wouldn't be in the damn crisis if you'd done your job to begin with. I submit, China is criminally responsible, and I submit the World Health Organization should be indicted as a co-conspirator in that crime. I don't hear anybody really objecting, but there will be some, because they'll say, Larry, you're obviously xenophobic. You know, medical experts wanted to recommend travel bans for all nations as they began to watch this develop. They were urging you need travel bans. And the World Health Organization told those experts from various nations, no, you don't need that. You don't need a travel ban. It won't work anyway. The only country, the first country to move forward with it was the U.S. under President Trump, saying we're stopping all flights from China. And then followed a couple weeks later, stopping all flights from Europe. The other countries finally have done so. But the president said, if the World Health Organization had been doing its job, and instead of siding with China, it would have also been imposing and urging, stop the flights. In the midst of all of this, folks are anxious for anything if they think they might have the virus. The FDA says you need to be aware of bogus treatments. There are currently no FDA-approved products. Now, the hydrochloroquine has been effective. Sometimes when combined with another drug, but there is no FDA-approved product specifically for this. They want you to be aware there are scammers out there. They will take advantage of you and your fear and take your money. We're still trying to decide when can we really reopen our nation, get everything back on track, and we need to do it sooner than later. The president, he said, I will let the governors make their decisions. I'm not going to order them to do an opening, but we're going to try to do it in a cohesive fashion. In the meantime, a new survey shows just how bad this is. For small businesses, a vast majority of small businesses across America suffering a devastating impact. 43% of those surveyed said this has been a severe negative impact. It will be questionable if some of those small businesses will be able to reopen with stimulus help or not. This has been a crisis for our nation, and it remains. And I know there are folks that are upset with it and think maybe we acted too fast, too soon. And while they're complaining, others are walking past caskets.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Scariest day of my life was about a month ago, when after a long day of meetings, my team told me that we were going to be needing 130,000 ventilators, that we were short hundreds of thousands of ventilators. This is the system we inherited. I had governors requesting unreasonable sums that the federal government just didn't have, and you look at the states didn't have, the states were not prepared. I knew that every person who needed a ventilator and didn't get one would die.
President Trump acknowledging the scariest day for him is to hear that we need these ventilators and we don't have enough. The coronavirus attacks the lungs, in some cases compromising your ability to breathe. If you already have difficulty breathing, you have a little asthma issue or anything else where you already have a shortness of breath for some reason, that makes you more vulnerable for the coronavirus if it gets into you. The ventilators help deliver air to your lungs through a tube they place in your windpipe. Obviously a crucial tool to keeping patients alive. Now, these computerized bedside machines can cost as much as $50,000. And if that's the device you need to keep someone alive, you hopefully have one. But as the president said, the scariest day of my life, when I was told we need 130,000 and we're short hundreds of thousands. Now, He also added, this is the system we inherited. I'm not going to play the blame game, but I am going to give you the facts. And the facts are, yes, he inherited that situation, as did Obama. As did Obama. Obama had a shortage as well. And the states, whatever their situation is, they had their own inheritance passed down from time to time. The states are responsible for maintaining health for their citizens as well. The government sets up, the federal government has these storage facilities available to help step in when the states and their supply gets wiped out or is vastly needed. But this sweeping through the nation at this point, as I said, we hit the highest daily death toll yesterday, 2,000, 24,000, I think, dead total across the U.S. at this point, and the number is not going to go down. It's beginning to plateau, perhaps, assuming we don't have any hot spots. Well, how did we get to the situation that there are not enough ventilators? Hamilton Medical in Switzerland is one of the world's largest makers. And when all this began to break, the president was urging governors, find ways to get them yourself if you can. We're doing what we can, but if you got a way to get them, do it. U.S. has some manufacturers that make them as well. But Hamilton Medical in Switzerland is one of the world's largest. And they saw they were already getting a request from Italy that there's not enough ventilators. Same way we saw them in China, in France, in other countries. He said we could sell, I don't know how many we could sell if we had them. He said Italy just wanted to order 4,000. Not a chance. We sent them 400. Hospitals throughout the U.S., have about 160,000 ventilators. We have another 12,000 in our national strategic stockpile. This is, again, the medical supplies maintained by the federal government to help respond to national emergencies. We have only 13,000 in that national stockpile. Across the nation, 160,000. But the president said the scariest day was when I'm told we need 130,000, and we're short hundreds. Now, the hospitals have 160,000. You're thinking, well, doesn't that cover it? No, because where are you going to need them and when? Some cities, states were needing them faster and more stressing need. New York. But this shortage does not start with the Trump administration. You're seeing critics from the left quickly point to him saying, it's your fault, your fault. Of course, it's also his fault the virus even exists. And it's his fault because he's xenophobic when he stopped Chinese flights when there was no reason to. And I've yet to see one Democrat. I've yet to see one Democrat or even a mainstream media group come forward and say, you know what? The president did make the right decision at the right time to save us more infections. Nope. They made their complaint saying you're xenophobic by trying to stop these flights when you don't need to. They won't accomplish anything. And then when they began to realize we needed to do something like that and then we need social distancing, then they start saying, well, he didn't do enough. This issue with the shortage of ventilators, according to New York Times report and other sources quoted as well, there's been a mounting issue and a problem with the shortage for two decades. Two decades. The government accepted bids from companies in 2008 to buy tens of thousands of additional ventilators after swine flu, the avian flu, SARS, and MERS. They certainly revealed we need more ventilators. New York Times says our government contracted a small Japanese company to develop and produce inexpensive ventilators that we could have. Cost less than $50,000, but they would do the job, hopefully. The last thing you want, the last thing you want is to put someone on a ventilator and it's supposed to do its thing. You walk out of the room, go check on other patients, and you come back and the damn thing stopped. And the patient's either gasping for air or then you got to try to revive them if you can. They had prototypes developed, shorter, newer type. They had one come out in 2012, that ground to a halt. The company that had the contract wanted out of it, said we're not making any money on it. The government got into a new contract with Philips in 2014, ordered 10,000 ventilators in December 2019. Delivery expected later this year of that order. In 2006, I can't stress to you enough, this is not Trump's fault directly, nor is it Obama's fault, or anyone in between this timeline, or any of the governors, or any of the states, not directly, but I'll come back to that. In 2006, the Congressional Budget Office warned that in the event of a flu epidemic on the level of the 1918 Spanish flu, we would be grossly underprepared when it comes to ventilators. The Congressional Budget Office in 2006 said, there are an estimated 100,000 ventilators in the country at that time. But if you get a severe influenza pandemic like we had in 1918, you would need 750,000 to treat the victims. So President Trump, here's this news the other day. He says, it's the scariest day in my life when I'm told we don't have enough ventilators.
Would we be able to prevent Americans from dying because we couldn't get them ventilators and the ventilators that they needed, and they needed immediately? I instructed my team to move heaven and earth to make sure that this didn't happen. We started to smartly ration and distribute the ventilators that we had and that others had. And I got daily updates on the supply we had. Last year, America manufactured from a dead start 30,000 ventilators. And this year, the number will be over 150,000 ventilators. It could be as high as 200,000, far more than we'll ever need. So we'll be able to stockpile. We'll be able to talk to states about stockpiling. These are high-quality ventilators. We had a choice. We could do inexpensive, less productive ventilators or high quality. We've done a high quality ventilator.
And that's what you need. As I said, you don't want to walk out of the room, come back 30 minutes later and find out the patient died because a ventilator shut down. And the president used his Defense Production Act to get some of this started, but he didn't have to use it as a hammer against some of these companies. They were stepping forward and saying, let us do what we can do to help the nation at that point. General Motors has been working with a medical device company and parts suppliers to build more ventilators. That's not their job, but they're doing it because they know it's needed. But here is where we circle the wagons again. In the sense when folks start trying to shout blame. Oh, they can say, you've been in office 3.5 years. Didn't you get a full assessment when you came in how bad things were? You know what? I don't know if he was ever briefed, and I haven't heard anything, and I don't know if we'll see it or not, that he or anyone was briefed at that point on the ventilator amount we had or didn't have. We got 13,000 in storage. We are supposed to be a supply line when the states run out of theirs. Any of the governors, any of the leaders of each of those states, did they inquire when they took office, how many ventilators do we have? In case we have a major flu epidemic, I wonder how many of them were asked that. How many of them were told there is an issue? Or maybe they're told it's an issue, but we got other budget issues. We got pension plans that got to be funded. We got a school education programs. And you know, if you don't have to spend the money on it, you don't want to, right? if you know for sure you're never going to have a wreck with your car and it's never going to be damaged, do you really want to pay car insurance for something you hope you never use? So it is not just the federal government at the Trump administration, nor even the Obama administration, but all of these going back when the shortage began to develop. And the other side of that is the states have the same responsibility. In the Marines, everyone has a mission. If I'm in charge of all the supplying meals for our troops in the field or wherever else, I'm not counting bullets. I'm supposed to be counting cans of food and things of that nature. You're supposed to be counting the bullets. If we're short of bullets, that's you. Don't come to talk to me about it because that's not my duty, not my mission. But if my mission is to tell you we could be short of food and our troops are starved to death, they may have all the bullets left, but they die of hunger, then I have failed. One breakdown on the mission, and it all falls apart. And we've found this breakdown. This ventilator system has been an issue for a long time. We just have not had the crisis to put us to the test. So do not let the left or anyone else say it's Trump's fault. That's a flat-out lie. Should Trump have been more aware and known when he came in? Okay. Same thing with Obama. Same thing with every governor who said, we need more ventilators. Then in the midst of all of this, you have the political weaponizing, including a mainstream media, who basically, CNN, has become the Chinese propaganda outlet. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You are, of course, aware of the problem we've had with one of our Navy carriers, USS Theodore Roosevelt, and sailors on board getting sick with the coronavirus, and a relief of the command as he complained publicly, and then another relief of someone else because they complained about how he complained publicly. Bottom line also, one sailor dying because of the virus. Here comes CNN, Chinese propagandist. CNN ran an article about the China People's Liberation Army, the PLA, as doing a lot better in protecting its branch of the military from the coronavirus. The headline, China's PLA Navy, and again, PLA is People's Liberation Army. China's PLA Navy is controlling coronavirus and aircraft carriers deployment proves it, report says. That's such sloppy, poor writing. I'll spend my time talking about how to write a better sentence. But aside from that, how about some attribution so it does not look like you are parroting Chinese propaganda? Because that's what you just did. The article, a Chinese naval flotilla headed into the Pacific over the weekend. Evidence, note that word evidence, as if it's a confirmed fact, there's no question. Evidence that the People's Liberation Army Navy has done a much better job controlling coronavirus than the U.S. Navy. That is flat Chinese propaganda. The Chinese could not have written it better themselves. And the reaction to CNN? Well, for one, Senator Hawley, Missouri, said, is CNN actually publishing this China Communist Party propaganda as news? Senator, yes, they did. Daily Caller investigative editor said, wow, CNN article just straight up regurgitated Chinese propaganda. The publisher of The Federalist said, unvarnished Chinese propaganda published by CNN. They're absolutely correct. Another one says, CNN, how can you publish this? The Roosevelt, now docked in Guam, has been hit the hardest by the virus. But the PLA Navy has no such issues. Chinese military experts tell the Global Times. Well, at least there they're giving an allegation to they got it from the Chinese Navy. But prior to that, other parts of the story is just flat out saying the Chinese are doing a better job about protecting their troops in the field from the virus than we are. It's a lie. It's propaganda. It's Chinese propaganda being not facing a single filter broadcast across one of the networks in this country. Take a break. We'll come back. Dr. Rick Layman, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the use of ventilators and the shortage. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to expose another flat-out lie. A flat-out lie being pushed by the left. It involves your stimulus checks and President Trump. That'll be coming up before we wrap up this hour. Joining us now, glad to have back on board, Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Glad to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Glad to be here.
Well, before you joined us, we were listening to a soundbite from President Trump saying the scariest day in his life recently was to be told that we do not have enough ventilators for the nation if this flu runs rampant, that we don't have it, we don't have it in stockpile, the states don't have it, and there's no way we can get it. He said we would be thousands and thousands short of ventilators. What was your response? Because I know this has been going throughout the medical community for a while, that do we have enough and where do we need them and when can we get them?
Well, you know, I think everything is based on one thing, and that is the numbers coming from New York. So everything we read and all the media gives us these horrendous numbers from New York, and the numbers are startling from New York. There's no doubt about it. But New York's not representative of the country. If you live in Missouri, you know, there's 42 deaths in St. Louis County or whatever there are, and maybe 100-something deaths in Missouri. And actually, we're way over capacity. There's way too much capacity in Missouri compared to what the results we thought were going to be. So there's plenty of ventilators, plenty of ICU space, and we have no issues. And a president also said, look, we sent you a boat, you didn't need it, and, you know, we don't need all the stuff that you asked for. So as it turns out, the request for 130,000 ventilators was probably way overstated, and my impression of that is you know, they asked for a lot more than they needed, and they got what they needed, and they have enough of ventilators. The number's starting to go down in New York, which is the hot spot. But in the Midwest and Montana and these other places, we have way plenty of capacity. There's no issue at all.
Well, I do maintain, and that was one thing I got into, that this shortage started back in 2006. So it's not just been during the Trump administration. Every administration coming in has either had a check number as to how many we had, and we had SARS hit, we had H1N1, swine flu, all this stuff. So they began using them up. And, of course, some are maybe not that effective anymore. But I do think that it's critical that we have a adequate supply ready for something like this to sweep through the nation again.
Well, but in the Obama administration, he DQ'd, and I'm not pointing fingers, I mean, they're expensive, but he DQ'd the number of ventilators that were asked for, and we did have a shortage. But still, the fact remains there are enough ventilators in this country. Now, of course, if we have 100 million people who need ventilators, yeah, we don't have enough ventilators. But if we need 100,000 ventilators or we need 50,000 ventilators, we're probably well equipped for what the expectations are for this virus.
Well, let's talk about the ventilators quickly and for folks to understand. The idea is to help get oxygen in because coronavirus attacks the lungs. But I'm looking at a report out of California for Bloom Energy saying that with ventilators running out, doctors say the machines are being overused, that they are now using less intensive respiratory support, that blood oxygen levels might be so low, but the patients aren't gasping for air, hearts aren't racing, so they might not really need a ventilator.
Well, you know, that's one part of it. And the other part of it, which no one talks about, is some people feel that the high interpulmonary pressure of a ventilator is actually making the problem worse. And you can Google that, and it'll tell you that the high intrapulmonary pressure is causing lung damage, which is then allowing the virus to invade that diseased lung. And some people feel you should be on something called CPAP, which is kind of what you're on almost when you have problems sleeping, and you have much less pressure causing much less damage. And so CPAP is just a much lighter pressure. You can get it through an oxygen mask, and it's just pulmonary pressure that's much more protective of the lung parenchyma.
And there is evidence that it's also attacking the heart, right?
Absolutely. So a ventilator is not going to do you a whole lot of good for that. Now, a ventilator is, you know, specifically what you said. You can't breathe, and you need some pulmonary support. But the question is going to come, and this will be answered probably after this whole pandemic gets resolved, and you know, the question is going to become, is a sleep apnea machine just as appropriate as a ventilator for somebody who has lung disease and you're forcing that pressure in the lung? But that will be well studied before this is over.
So hydroxychloroquine, being used in various cases, and a new study is out that says it does not clear it necessarily, but can alleviate some of the symptoms. So at this time, it still seems to be the best option or not.
Well, I can only go on 8 or 10 people that I've given it to. I'm an orthopedist. I'm not a lung guy, but there were people that couldn't get it. And in every one of those cases, in 36 hours, the people were clinically better. Now, I'm not a statistician or a pulmonary doctor. I just know that I can line up 10 people, and they're going to tell you when I start taking the Plaquenil or the hydroxychloroquine, same thing. I got better within a day and a half to two days. My cough was better. I felt better. I didn't feel as sick. My night sweats went away. And there's just a lot of anecdotal reports that it has helped. So, I think if Dr. Fauci gets his disease, he's going to be jumping for the Plaquenil or the hydroxychloroquine right out of the gate.
Yeah. Now, Tom Hanks and, of course, Rita Wilson were in Australia filming some stuff, and they had come down with it. And she says she took the hydroxychloroquine, as did Tom Hanks, and she said she had extreme side effects, vertigo and nausea, but she's alive.
No, okay. And so I'm with you. So those are the options. You may die, or you're going to have vertigo and nausea, which is going to go away. I'm not saying they're totally without side effects. Some people get bad dreams. There's a number of potential side effects, but those side effects come and go. So if you take an ibuprofen, you might get a side effect of some stomach pain, but it's not going to stay with you. It's going to be there for 20, 30 minutes. So, again, it's a risk-reward, ratio. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And in my opinion, you know, the potential of getting worse and worse and going on a ventilator is a lot scarier than having vertigo or dizziness.
A Stanford University professor of medicine was addressing one of the networks and saying that the coronavirus death rate likely orders of magnitude are going to be much lower than first thought, maybe only 3.4%, way down from what we were fearing and so forth. Why would the numbers have been so accelerated, you think, in the beginning? Or if that, and, of course, that was the whole idea for the lockdown, that if it's that fast and that rampant, it's already seeded in the nation. We can't stop it from coming in. We don't have a vaccine. We got to ramp up everything. Has a lockdown added to the contribution that the numbers are down or not?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, people said, hey, maybe 200,000 people are going to die. Now some people are saying 60,000 people are going to die. Now some people say maybe 40,000 people are going to die.
And when you reach that number, some are saying, why did we shut down the whole economy for 40,000 or 60,000?
Right, because those are influenza A and B numbers. And so that would be a valid question. And so, and the people that get better, just like the flu, people get better. You know, and 50,000, 60,000 people are going to die of influenza. And it's going to be the same cohort, elderly people, people with underlying pulmonary disease, people with comorbidities. So, you know, that's a valid question. I think the model also showed this morning that the professor from University of Washington who did the modeling said, hey, we're on the back end of this. We're already starting to turn the corner. So my opinion would be, you know, I think we've either done a really good job, and maybe, you know, Trump didn't do such a bad job shutting down the country, and maybe we did a better job than we think. So that, I think, one issue is. But I still think you have to look at the NIDAS, and NIDAS is New York, and they still aren't social distancing in New York. And I don't know that you can social distance in a city of 9 million people that's so, you know, that has such a small surface area.
Yeah. Well, in the last minute and a half, and I originally wanted to make this one of the top topics, but we cover a lot of material here. But pharmacies and doctors, that I'm hearing reports that doctors are sending prescriptions into pharmacies are not being fulfilled because the pharmacists and or the insurance are making decisions. No.
Well, you know, for all our listeners out there, just know that your doctor's writing a script. He's trying to do what's right for you. And we're meeting a lot of resistance, and the resistance may be from insurance companies not approving the medicine, or maybe the pharmacy not filling those scripts. Back in the day, if the doctor wrote for 60, well, I don't know, Percocets, you got 60 Percocets. Now you might get 10 Percocets. And I think just know that your doctor is trying to do the right thing for you. They're just meeting a lot of resistance, which I do understand in this Percocet crisis. But people that have pain or people that have whatever, an infection, should try to get the medicine that the doctor prescribes. And I don't feel that the insurance company should be making those decisions.
Should the pharmacy decide, I'm not going to give you that many? Can they reject the script straight out just because of that?
Well, they can and they do, but I don't think they should have the last say. I mean, your doctor is the guy that's treating you, and he knows your problem, and he went to school to do this. So I think that just, you know, willy-nilly say we're going to give you 10, but even though your doctor wanted to give you 30, to me, doesn't seem to be very reasonable, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
So how does, in the last 30 seconds, how does the MD work with the pharmacist on resolving that?
Well, I think the MD has to, you know, what we would do is we'd call a pharmacist and we'd say, hey, please fulfill the prescription the patient brought in, number one. If you feel there's an impropriety or reason you can't do it, don't just not give them the meds. Call us and tell them why you're not giving them the meds, and let's discuss it. And if it's an insurance issue, okay, that's fine. Let's discuss it, but don't just not fill the prescription.
Yeah, all right. Well, I was going to be a doctor. I had handwriting that could qualify for yours from writing script. Nobody could read what I was writing. I can't read yours when you write for me either. Dr. Lehman, we always appreciate having you on board. Thank you, sir, very much.
Take care.
Dr.
Bye
Rick
right.
Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Coming up, you don't want to miss the next part.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Bye.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I regret to tell you, you already know this, but I really regret to reaffirm that the left, the resist movement, the mainstream media, the leftists are going to continue to fight Trump on anything and everything he does. They chastised him for stopping the flights out of China earlier than anyone else. And they've never once come back and said, you know, he made the right decision. They attacked him for now pulling money out of the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization is complaining, well, we need it. This is a crisis now. Well, who do you think contributed to the crisis? The World Health Organization, because it was taking China at its word and giving us lies, and the virus got a faster spread. So he says, we're going to hold the money until we get a better accounting. And here comes Nancy Pelosi weighing in. Said, I'm going to challenge that dangerous, illegal move to freeze the funding. My God, woman, don't you want the World Health Organization to be protecting the world instead of being in the back pocket for China? We give them $400 million a year, $450 million some years. And we're saying we're going to hold it back, and China only gives $40 million. But China is getting support for the World Health Organization. And, of course, when the president was trying to offer from the news conferences that this hydroxychloroquine might work for some people, talk to your doctor. It's not approved directly for that, but it's been used for malaria. It might work. What do they do then? Again, they complain that he's acting like a doctor, quackery medicine. And in Michigan, the Democrat governor said, I'm not going to allow that quack to prescribe medicine in my state, and any doctor using it for treating coronavirus, we will go after your license. So they couldn't do it for a while. And then there was a Michigan Democrat state representative, Karen Whitsitt, and her husband came down with coronavirus. She's a state representative in the state of Michigan. And now she's saying, I praise Donald Trump. I praise Donald Trump. He saved my life.
Politics needs to be put aside at a time like this. We're in a pandemic. And it really sickens me when I have to hear that time and time again about politics and being Republican or Democrat. You know, we have a president that's in the White House, not a Republican president. We have a president that is in the White House. And at this time right now, everyone needs to get behind the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States. And we need to simply unite together. We have people that are in our United States, which is united, that we need to be working to save. And that takes all of us. So whatever your party is, that's neither here nor there at this time. Right now, we're human beings in the United States of America, and we need to unite.
I applaud her remarks. Michigan Democrat State Representative Karen Whitsitt. And she also said, if the president had not been promoting that drug from his news conferences, I never would have gotten it. But as a state representative, I could use my name and my authority and my rank and demand I want it. And later she said, I regret that I had to do it that way because every Michigan resident should have a right. And now they do because the Michigan governor has backtracked, said, okay. That Michigan Democrat says, I owe my life to Donald Trump pushing that drug. But the resist movement, what else can we do to destroy Trump? We can fight him because he wants to cut off money to the World Health Organization. I submitted earlier, and I'll do it again. China is guilty of mass murder because they allowed this virus to run rampant and lying to us that it was could be transmitted person to person, not accepting that, not telling us that. And in turn, the World Health Organization parodied the same story, and so it ran rampant. And the World Health Organization was also advising no need to shut down any flights to any countries. Thank God the president did. And, of course, the president's working to help you with the economy upset like it is, get stimulus checks to you. But here comes the Washington Post, publishing a story last evening, claiming that a lot of you are going to get your checks late. You know why? Because Donald Trump wants his name on that check. He wants his name to appear on those stimulus checks. So they're holding everything up to print his name on it. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true at all. The Treasury Department actually says we don't really expect any delay. Everything's going ahead to issue checks next week. And in some cases, deposits are being made directly into accounts we have on file. And there's nothing in there to put Donald Trump's name on the checks. But it's just another resist movement story to slander the president in the midst of this crisis. What did that Michigan Democrat say a moment ago? We have a president that's in the White House, not a Republican president, a president that is in the White House. And at this time, whatever your party, that's neither here nor there. Right now, we are human beings in the U.S. of America, and we need to unite. More Democrats need to hear that, and several Republicans. We are in a crisis. If you like this program, please let your friends and neighbors know about it. If you missed part of it, you want them to hear it, it's going to be up at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook for the podcast. All programs go up when we finish. Again, thanks for listening. Back here again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.